Welcome to OC Housing Connection Program, Orange County's number one trusted resource for all your real estate and home mortgage news. Here are your hosts, Hamid and Faye Hamadachi.
Hello, everyone. We hope you had a fun and relaxing weekend. Let's get started today by talking about VA loans. I'm here with my co-host, Faye.
Hello.
As well as our sound engineer, Paul.
Yes.
Let's talk about real estate and mortgages and any news, what's going on, and of course,
well, let me talk a little bit about the economy and what came out today. Today, the factory orders came out for February, which fell 1.7%. The orders have now declined in the 14 of the last 19 months. And that's the manufacturing, which accounts for 12% of the economy. And the reason really is the strong dollar and the weak global demand. So
yeah,
we go back
to
the
same.
Can't sell anything.
Well, it costs more basically once you...
The reason the index was lower was because the transportation equipment fell to 6.2%. Now, tomorrow the ISM number comes out, ISM non-manufacturing supply. And ISM is basically an index based on the survey of more than 300 manufacturing firms.
We should get we had the ISM representative on one of our other shows for a long time. It was like a year ago. They used to come on and give us the inside look at the ISM report because it's very interesting. The Institute for Supply Management really does break this down into great detail and try and explain each quarter why these things are up or down. We should go. I'll reach out.
That would be very interesting.
Be very nice.
So, and then I want to talk about China. You know, I'm fascinated with China.
I want
China
to say
and their
small,
debt.
Something small before we go into detail. We always have a green tip of a day, of the week, and it's interesting how many people are interested, and I tell you why. Tesla came out with the new Tesla 3, I believe it is, and they were hoping to get $100,000. You can buy that car for $35,000, basically.
Right, as opposed to $100,000 for the other
ones. Exactly,
right.
And it goes up to 215 miles. Now, they were hoping to get 100,000 orders. Mm-hmm. By end of the day, yesterday had 287,000
orders.
No,
can you believe I saw the same thing, and now they're wondering if they can produce
the stock.
Well, not only that actually tells me how interested people are in going green and basically saving energy. It was amazing when I saw these numbers.
And you know what's even more amazing to me is, because it flies in the face of one of the other numbers, and we talked about it before. Once the crisis is gone, people want to seem to go back into big cars, big trucks, low mileage. Great. So we've seen where as oil got cheaper, as gas got cheaper, there's been an uptick in the counter of big trucks and big things and SUVs and all this stuff. Here's something flying in the face of that says, no, there's an equally or even greater group of people that even though gas is cheap, they still want to be green.
Yeah, well, what's interesting is
Tesla's
got good reputation, actually, on what they came out with. And people, I guess, were very happy with what they already had seen, and they couldn't afford it. Now, this smaller car, it's basically the same car, just smaller, and now it's affordable.
It has a limited range.
Well, 215 miles. It's not bad, Paul, when you think about it.
Is it 260 miles?
15 miles, it says right now, but maybe it goes up.
That's not bad.
In fact, we can probably have that car maybe 3 or 4 days and just go to work and back and forth without actually charging it. Plus, you can always charge it at home at night. So there is a lot of interest when people actually see a reliable alternative to using gas cars or,
Elon Musk famously said his company will be bigger than Apple, and people scoffed and laughed.
I think he probably is going to be there actually. Although I know Apple is working on an automatic electrical car, self-driving
Google and all the others. Yeah.
And at one point, Apple was interested in buying Tesla for $75 billion, but I guess Musk must have thought it costs more, or he can do better. And he seems to be doing good so far.
Well, it proves our green tip of the week is well placed here, and we'll have another one for you today here. So anyway, but I guess I'm curious to know what Faye was going towards.
Well, to China. I love the China.
Is this the canary in the coal mine that says there's some poisonous gas leaking up here into our economy?
Kind of, I think, yes.
Well, let's talk about China. They've had all these empty apartments in China, so what the government was trying to do is get some of these apartments sold. So now in China, you have to put...
Sold or rented?
Sell it.
So they built
all these empty, there are a lot of empty apartments.
Yeah. Well, they actually built cities in some places as they tried to move inland to try and accommodate this move from rural to urbanization that's happening in their society. So they built ahead of the curve, thinking they'd fill them up, and now they ain't.
Well, what happens in China, you put a third down. Okay. So there are entities that actually, and there are a lot of the banks do it, the construction company are doing it, the builders are doing it. There are different sources that actually lend some of these down payment. And they did about
a hundred. You actually borrowed the down payment.
You borrowed the down payment.
So you're not putting any skin in the game, right?
Yeah. Kind of, yeah.
In China.
And there's like, they can't really say how much is out there because there's a lot of outside the system also, because if you remember, there was a really good article on Economist about 2 years ago talking about this. And now it comes out again now. So what they did, they were trying, so in January, they did about 143 million of these loans.
Okay.
Now, what the
you mean the first loans, the 70% loans?
No. I'm talking just about the down payment.
Oh, I see.
So they'll loan you the down payment. That
well,
sounds
they
risky.
Were doing it, and then they got scared. It's like what was happening. Remember what they did with their stock market? They were actually getting money, and like they were investing in the stock market and their stock market. And what happened? The government goes, oops, this may not be a good idea, right?
Right.
And then they're backing off on that. And it's kind of the data on a lot of their data is really sketchy. You don't really know what you're getting.
That's the
if
problem.
If it's the right news.
If it's real.
No, but what's out is that their non-performing loan ratio was up 1.58% last year.
That's what they admitted.
And it's gone up this year. And they think their true number is about 8% for the the ratio. And do you know what was our non-performing ratio in the U.S. when we fell apart?
3%?
No, 14.6%. So
half of our ratio, supposedly.
I mean,
but economy is so much more different. I don't think it's as strong as our economy, and it's not so diversified. Their economy is basically based on cheap manufacturing technology.
Yeah, but
there is no innovation usually there.
Yes, but you know, they've encouraged people because there was a housing glut to reduce the house glut. They kind of encouraged people to buy, and I think it's like they're seeing a deja vu of what was happening in the stock market, and that's they're trying to back
up. Do you think it's a good place to invest for real estate?
I think China is actually it's going to hurt us all. That's just my belief. I think China is like we don't really get the right data from China. Mm,
yeah.
We don't you know. We get some data, but I don't think it's really a clear picture of what's going on in China.
So many people, we do a financial show here, are predicting some sort of recession, some sort of downturn. Things are overheated,
certainly in
the U.S. And one of the factors that they constantly cite is some sort of global crisis, the euro or again with China. And China seems to be the hot prospect. I was reading the Wall Street Journal just the other day.
That's one more thing I want to say. Right. It accounts for 1/5 of China's gross domestic product.
That's
a huge number. So I think it's somebody we really need to pay attention to China. And
One other thing I want to say here: all these wars are going on that are going on.
Yeah.
In a way, it's good for these economies, various countries. That's why they don't really want it to end. When there's a war going on, you sell a lot of arms, you know, whether you're China.
Bullets.
Exactly. So, in a way, it is helping the economy. Some of these countries, I know, if that they couldn't sell these, they would be in trouble. Russia isn't, you know, one of them, for example.
But I've also read, and I'm not much of an economist, but I remember reading this before, that yes, it does stimulate the economy. The government pours lots of money in to buy arms, but it doesn't produce anything. In other words, once the bomb blows up, it's gone. You got to buy another bomb. It's not like building a factory that continues to produce jobs.
It's the same factory building more bombs now.
Right. But the actual goods that you're creating don't get resold or don't get have any other use other than one time.
So
when you build cars, they have a resale market and they have other things.
From my factory's point of view, though, Paul, it actually keeps going and you employ people.
Yeah.
It would be
just
nice
have to get find a, more people to kill that.
It would be nice to buy a car. Imagine
we're
if
working
buy,
on that.
Imagine if you buy a car and after 2 years you just have to go buy another new car.
Yeah.
And you just have to throw that away. That's not a bad business as far as the factory is concerned.
No, because you could constantly
exactly.
consume them. It constantly
right.
goes away.
And with arms, they always come back and say, well, buy this one. It's more expensive, but it does this, and it's better. And so
or
much.
I create something, and then I create a counter weapon for it, and then you got to buy that one. Then
exactly.
I got to buy the counter weapon, the one that beats that one.
Well, you know what happens? We just, like, lose it when we sell it to the wrong person.
Yeah, well. So, all right, you're talking about China. So what you're suggesting is maybe this is a hint of a sore spot in the economy that could get turned into something bigger. Wall Street Journal last week, this is from Thursday, March 31st, front page article in Money and Investing is profits stagnate at China's banks. China's biggest banks posted their lowest annual profit growth in a decade as bad loans mount in an ailing economy that's pushing lenders towards riskier avenues of expansion.
There's more for you to
there
read
you
there. So
now Europe is also very important. Remember, Europe is a lot more, you know, connected to
Donald Trump says we don't need Europe. We're pulling out of NATO. We don't need all that Europe stuff anymore. Listening to Donald Trump.
Donald Trump probably lives in a different planet, actually.
He lives in a different planet.
Think of all the trade we do with Europe, Paul. It's,
yeah.
They've been our biggest partner forever.
He says pull out of NATO. Pull out of all that stuff. Make
well, I don't think he can really tell the truth. That's his problem.
Wow.
And I think he says...
He says whatever comes into his head, I think.
Yeah.
He's a showman.
He's a showman.
And he's a good showman. He's been able to attract people the way he wants to. So, are we basically done?
You just have to pay attention because this week there'll be no shortage of Fed governors speaking. Like the Boston Rosenberger will speak. He spoke this morning. He talked about cybersecurity and he also mentioned that markets are too slow in pricing in rate hikes.
Mm.
And we have the Minneapolis.
I don't think they take the rate hikes seriously anymore.
Yeah.
Kari speaks later today, or today he might have spoken already. Chicago Evans will take the podium tomorrow. Cleveland and Dallas.
So there's quite a lot happening.
There's
this
a lot.
Week,
and then on Fed Chief Yellen will join Greenspan and Bernanke for a panel interview on Thursday. So that one is the one that you really need to
Is that going to be here on OC Talk Radio? On the
I'm
OC
sure it
radio?
Is. Rob.
Probably next week we'll talk about it, actually.
No, on the OC Radio.
I was hoping they were going to the panel here.
Yeah,
and
Yellen and Bernanke.
Yeah.
And
now, I want to talk about February reports that said the housing sales were down mm-hmm. by almost 8% and mm-hmm. try to...
Yeah, that confused
why.
Me. That
See, what happens is when you purchase a home, it's a long-term process. Normally, it takes anywhere from 45 days to 3 months. So when you see the numbers being done in February, that means these are the numbers people were looking at or they started buying these homes in December or January.
So they wrote the they're in contract then.
Well, they closed the contract in February, exactly. That means the slowest part of this, you know, the year you're looking at homes. So I'm not surprised that it is down a little bit because during November, December, even January, not many people are looking for homes.
Right, so they didn't start the process then, and therefore
exactly.
it doesn't, the completion yeah. in February, right?
Exactly, so that's why I think we got to
look at... Or if they were in contract and they couldn't get a loan?
Mm.
Well, wouldn't that be there too?
Yes, but see, when you look at every other month, we'll probably have the same number of people who can get a loan. You don't actually go, nowadays, I would be surprised if a agent takes you out without knowing what the buyer can qualify for.
Mm.
It's advice, and I think it's a great
You'll
thing
be
to
surprised.
Do.
I still see it.
Yeah, right.
People want to buy
it. All over town and show you what you can. Oh, you can't afford anything? Oh, sorry.
See, that would be a waste of time for both of them. But
yeah, we get to spend the day together,
yeah.
right?
So it is advisable always to talk to a loan officer before you go and start looking for a home. You want to know exactly how much you qualify for. You don't know how much down payment you need,
yeah.
Et cetera. So it is good to always talk to a loan officer and then start looking for a home.
See, I want to go to China where I can borrow the down payment. I never knew that.
Yeah, but you know what happens there.
You can
you
do
don't
that
pay.
Here, Paul, but rates are... You know,
I think you'll probably get a different... method there if you
yeah.
don't pay.
I gotta go to Vinny the loan shark.
Yeah, I think that's what's gonna be. Paul, you gotta make sure you can handle Vinny's punches too.
Now, we have a lot of vets, Yes. We're talking about the vet loan.
We've had a lot of requests to talk about vet loans, VA loans, and I don't think most of us know much about it. I'm not a vet, and therefore I know nothing about the process or the program.
Why don't you tell us, Faye, first, who qualifies as a veteran that can get a loan? And what are some of the requirements? Well, are they the same loans? Are they more expensive? Are the rates higher? Basically, tell us everything you know about VA.
Well, it'll probably be a long, long day.
Oh, long
day.
All right,
so
okay.
Why don't we start with, like...
And should lenders and home sellers and agents be afraid if somebody comes up with a VA loan? Is this more paperwork that's going to delay it?
Absolutely no.
Not really. I don't think that's...
You know, I get this out there. People, like, when we do VA loans, government loans, FHA and VA loans, and I get agents, some of them, like, saying, oh, this is... For me, personally, doing a government loan is much easier than conventional loan.
See, and that's the opposite of what I sense. Most agents would, oh, can't you just get me a conventional loan? We got to go through all that nonsense. We got
to
go through that.
Well, what you need to understand, though, on a govy loan, on a government loan, and if you don't want to really go get a 2 or 3K, which is where you could actually fix if there's problems on a FHA loan, but if you want to get a regular FHA loan or a VA loan, you don't want to buy a home with a lot of
deferred maintenance.
Deferred maintenance, because technically, when somebody buys a home with a govy loan, which I keep referring to, which is FHA and VA, these people do not have lots of money, so therefore the house has to be livable. So when the appraiser goes out, they kind of do like a mini inspection, make sure, you know, the oven works, you know, the stove
works.
Air conditioning. Well, air conditioning is not a requirement.
It's not a requirement. The home has to be livable, Paul.
Yeah.
You may not have a screen on there, but it has to be livable type of home.
Okay.
Like, there can't be holes in the, you know, on the...
On the ceiling.
Asbestos hanging out.
Asbestos, like, all that stuff. Like, it has to be livable. We don't care if the carpet is worn out, but there's got to have carpet.
Right.
Like, we need a stove. We don't care about the dishwasher, because you can live...
And again, because the assumption is that VA loans and FHA loans are for people that don't qualify for
the people who have very little down payment take these loans. So therefore you don't have a lot of money to spend, so you've got to be able to move in there without going and spending another $5,000
for them. Came back and did have enough money, they would just forego the VA process. There's no other advantage than
you know, VA and FHA loan have much lower interest rate.
Yeah, so I'm saying, so why wouldn't they, even though I have enough money, enough down payment for a conventional loan, I'll take advantage of the VA because of a lower rate?
Well, it depends, because like I actually did a loan last year, and my person would have qualified for a conventional loan down, like 800, FICO, everything was perfect for him. But it was cheaper for me to give him a VA loan, because like, if you do a high balance conforming loan, what I mean by high balance is if your loan is over 417 and you try to do a loan where we consider that the cash out, which means like either you're putting a first and a second together, or you're like you're taking money out of the home, it becomes like almost 0.5% higher on a conventional loan. Whereas on a VA, there is really no...
And I guess that's the point I'm getting at. I think the perception is if I'm selling my house and a buyer comes in and says they're an FHA or a VA or some other government loan, I'm assuming they're not as well qualified. They don't have the cash. They're not as good
a
prospect.
To correct you again.
Yeah,
You keep talking about qualification.
Right.
Just because I get a VA loan doesn't mean I'm less qualified.
Or poor.
What's the qualification?
It's just like I could buy a property with less down payment.
Yeah.
I am a qualified buyer, but I just go in with less money down.
Paul, when somebody comes to you and says, I'm qualified, say, for $800,000 or $650,000, and I want to buy your home, you shouldn't care about how they were qualified.
I agree.
Whether it was a VA, FHA, a conventional, they are qualified to buy your home. Once you sell your home, you have no other responsibility. Now, they may have got a VA loan with zero down, or they may have got an FHA loan with 3.5% down.
But if I tell my neighbors I'm selling to somebody with a VA or an FHA, they're either going to tell me one of two things. One, don't do it. It's a hassle. It's a problem. It's going to take longer, whatever, more paperwork. Or they're going to say, Really? That means that's going to bring down the value of the neighborhood because they couldn't afford a regular loan.
That. First of all,
that would be considered discrimination. I would not be talking to that neighbor.
First of all, you don't do any more paperwork as a seller.
Okay.
It's the buyer who may have to fill in a few more paperwork.
All right. And is it going to take longer? Is it going to delay? I might need that money tomorrow. I got to get
it. Shouldn't take any longer. Well, if the person is qualified, everything's good, it should probably be the same time as for a conventional. Now, as far as thinking that it's going to bring the neighborhood down, that's the wrong type of thinking.
It's the image that's unfortunate.
What do you mean, those people? You mean the person that went to war for you, the vet, that actually put his life on the line?
Who can't afford to live in our neighborhood, and he's going to get
He's not good enough to live in your neighborhood? Oh.
Your neighborhood, not my neighborhood.
He can live in my neighborhood any day of the week.
He can qualify. Correct you, Paul. He can qualify because if he gets a qualification from any lender, then he's qualified.
Yeah.
To you, as far as you know, it's the next neighbor. It doesn't really matter. Now, they may have less money to spend, say, on toys and go out or whatever, but that's not
I get emotional because for me, are you trying to get me going on that then?
Isn't that a common perception that people don't want to, they somehow think that's a negative
You come now, in? That actually, unfortunately, it's happened in most condo associations. And yes, you're right. The perception or the image that people have is that if we go with an FHA person, they're just a little bit
they're
less
borderline,
money.
They're borderline.
And
they're not going to take care of it as well. They don't have as much into it.
The other problem that the reason this is actually coming up a lot is because condo associations have to be qualified or certified by FHA.
And the
existing owners are not aware of what they have to do, what they need to go through to get the...
We talked about that at length, and even some community associations, Ladera being a glaring example, big upscale houses,
exactly.
But because of the way they structured these things, they don't qualify for meet the FHA standards.
There is no, guidelines. As far as I'm concerned, there is no difference between an FHA and a conventional person when they buy a house.
A buyer. You get a letter, it means that person has been qualified.
Right.
So that person is not less qualified.
But I'll bet if we were really honest, they probably wouldn't have been in on the show. But if I went and surveyed all the real estate agents in town, I'll bet a lot of them would say,
I don't think so. Not agents.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
Because I'm talking about the finance. I do mortgages all day long.
Right.
And if I get a VA loan and I qualify, that letter I give to my VA buyer or an FHA buyer is not any less than if you're putting $500,000 down. You're qualified, you're qualified. We can't give you a letter if you're not qualified.
Sure.
So
why do people have it? Why aren't people doing more of these things? I suspect that people
because
are
because some of them don't even know. VA people, you'd be surprised how many VA people who are veterans, they're not aware of these being available. In fact, one of the things we were doing last year was making the vets aware of these programs out
there. Benefits they got
the service they gave.
Yeah.
Now, Faye, tell us about the benefits. I'm a VA.
Let's talk about who's eligible.
Right.
So you have to be a veteran. And to be eligible, these are about four or five things. Number
obviously,
one,
you have to have
181 days active duty.
Okay, right.
Or serve 90 days during your wartime. Or 6 years in the reserves. So one of these. Or you're a spouse of a service member who was killed in the the line of duty.
It has to be somebody who's killed before the spouse can get it?
If you're alive, then you go in with your spouse.
Let's say my spouse passes away. Do I still qualify as a VA?
They just died of natural causes, and 6 years later I want to take advantage of that.
I don't believe you do. You have to
it
have
doesn't carry on for
no,
your family.
So they have to make
I believe
sure
you have to have been killed.
So they better kill,
kill that man.
Kill the spouse somehow.
Yeah, you got to kill your spouse.
Well, you get a regular loan. You just can't get a VA loan.
No. Well, what's the advantage of getting a VA loan?
Well, less money down.
How much is less money?
A lower interest rate.
Can I go with zero down?
You could get what we call a VA no-no, which means you go zero down. Now,
Are the rates higher?
Rates are actually much lower on a VA loan.
On a VA no-no, I mean, when I put nothing down, it's...
It's the same rate. It's the same rate.
Okay.
It's a matter of qualification. Now, here's the other thing. VA loans don't have like a monthly mortgage insurance. They only have an upfront funding fee. And the funding fee
One time
that's financed into the loan. But let's say if you've... you were asking me when I would do a VA loan.
Right.
Well, if you're a disabled vet, your funding fee is zero. So, like, we had a loan. It was conventional. Like, you give the person that, I think at the time the conventional was 4.5. We gave him a 3.75 vet
Let's get technical here. So what makes you disabled? Is it...
if you're classified. Like,
you have to be classified.
Yeah. I guess the VA has to give you...
Yeah. And then how you find out what your funding fee is, you have to get a certificate of eligibility. Mm-hmm. Basically, you go on their website and you enter, like, your qualification, and then you get that certificate of eligibility. That mm-hmm. certificate will tell us what your funding fee is, you know, like, and that's that we, so if you're coming to, you want to go get a loan, you need to request your certificate of eligibility from, you know, through the...
From the VA.
Yeah.
Okay. Where is the VA here? I don't even know where the
VA
is.
You just go online and do it. Oh, okay. Really, you don't need to drive there, no.
All right.
And now, why...
Are there any restrictions on the areas? Can I buy a VA anywhere?
You can buy it anywhere.
And what about loan amounts? Is there a restriction on how much is money? Mm-hmm. I mean, what's the maximum?
Well, for FHA and VA, it's about, almost, it's about the same. It's like VA is a little bit different than FHA, and it depends on the county.
I see.
Because
so
you have the low balance and you have the high balance.
Whatever FHA...
I think VA is a little bit higher.
But these aren't jumbo loans or anything else. These are conventional.
It could be. It could be like $600,000 to $700,000.
Really? Okay.
Oh, yeah. Actually, I'll give you, you know, your debt-to-income ratio, what we call, refer to as this, your debt-to-income ratio is basically means if you earn a dollar, what percentage of that $1 goes towards your obligation?
Mm-hmm. Well, in my case, it's two.
Case maybe two, but usually on a convention, if it's a jumbo loan, we're capped at 43%.
Okay.
On a conforming loan, which is for Freddie Fannie, you're capped at 50%. Mm. Well, FHA, VA, I've ran them through the automated system, and it could go up as high as 58 or 56. Now, you have to look at, VA also looks at your disposable income, is how much is left. It's not just about the ratio. It's like how much money you have left, and it depends on the number of people that live in the
property.
And
the VA actually holds the note and loans it, or do they sell it
off?
They
insure it. That's the funding fee.
Oh, they insure it.
They insure. Same thing as FHA. You know, they insure the loan.
So if I default on that loan, then...
It just goes back to VA. The bank gets paid, and you deal with the VA.
Got it. Okay.
Like, isn't there a Calvet program also?
Yeah, so I think that's just the first-time home buyers. Your interest rate is cheaper. And those are bonds. So
I
that's
see,
a different... Don't even bring that. Right. Yeah.
Maybe we should cover it in
another show, Calvet.
So, now, what are the factors that you consider for qualifying for a VA is your credit? Like, we, you know, like, give you an example. Like, if you had a bankruptcy, I think for conventional, is it for... Waiting period is, I think, 4 to 5 years. Mm-hmm. VA is like, you can do it after, I believe, after 12 months.
Wow.
Or 2 years. FHA is 2 years. It's much easier to qualify because, you mm-hmm. know, and everybody should really help qualify that vet, you know. And same thing on FHA loan. It's much easier to qualify. And
yet we have people in here all the time. We had a show a couple of weeks ago with some veterans group that came in here, and they talk about the poverty level of vets, the fact that vets come back and can't get jobs. They can't. They've put 8 years into something, or 2 years, or 4 years, or whatever, and they're behind their peers, or they have post-traumatic stress, or they have disabilities, or they haven't saved any money when they were overseas, and now all of a sudden they come back with no money and no job skills, or at least job skills that they can translate. On and on and on, the amount of homelessness, the amount of suicide, the amount of terrible things that happen with all these. And I'm wondering... We have this wonderful program in place to help them buy homes, and yet so few of them can even get jobs.
Unfortunately, it's a problem with a lot of them, Paul.
Yeah.
You know, because what they get trained in the military, it's not specifically applicable to the civilian life.
Missile guidance or something here.
Exactly. Now, some of them are very smart. They're engineers, you know, they do other stuff that they can actually apply in the civilian life.
Right.
But many of them, which are actually combat troops, it's difficult to come back and, you know, be able to apply that skill to this civilian life.
That's if they don't have shell shock either.
Yes, exactly. So with the post-traumatic stress. And so I guess my point is maybe that's why I don't think vet loans are used that much, because the vets themselves, when they come back, aren't in financial enough shape to even think about buying a home.
I'm
they
sure
don't have a job. They don't have
a... I'm sure there's a percentage
that go through that, but you'd be surprised what are the big percentages out there which are not aware of these things being available.
Hard to imagine that they wouldn't realize.
You know, when I talk to a customer, I always do ask if that person has been in the military and been a vet, because you don't know. That's just another alternative that you have that you can explore. So I think the whole idea is right now is like VA loans are becoming more popular, and there's more group of people that can get it because of all the wars we've had recently also.
Yeah.
So it is an alternative. It's a good alternative, and, you know, I think it's one that we should explore.
All right. Well, let's look at it some more as we take a quick
break and come back and
we'll come back and talk about VA loans. Yeah, let's learn about VA loans and what do we need to know? What do they got to get educated about here? All that and more when we come back right after here on the OC Housing Connection, right here in Orange County's only community radio station, OCTalkRadio.net.
Imagine what it would feel like to lose everything. Your job, your home, your family, your dignity. This has happened to thousands of the men, women, veterans, and young adults we serve at Working Wardrobes. What do we do to help? We provide career development services, life skills workshops, job skills training. We provide the perfect interview outfit, and we get clients placed in jobs. Call Working Wardrobes, 714-210-2460. Donate, volunteer, invest, hire.
When it comes to pioneers in their respective industries, we all know the Apples, Starbucks, and Trader Joe's of the world. In the realm of recruiting, Decision Toolbox is the industry's best-kept secret. With 90% of their business from referrals and repeat customers, for over 20 years, Decision Toolbox's U.S.-based team of recruiters, sourcers, professional writers, quality personnel, and tech support has perfected a Six Sigma approach to talent management. No matter the size of the project, Decision Toolbox delivers incredible results. A cost per hire less than half of what contingency firms charge. With the winning candidate presented in an average of 14 days. All with a 12-month candidate warranty. With results like that, Decision Toolbox won't be a secret for long. Visit us at www.dtoolbox.com for more information.
All right. Everybody's amazed at some of the toys I had in the studio here today. Here. All right, VA loans. What do we got to learn?
Now, you know, this has been in there since 1944. They had a Serviceman's Readjustment Act, as they called it. It was passed by the Congress in 1944.
Okay.
To make sure that, you know, the people who go to wars and come back, they have this opportunity to get these homes.
And I wonder if that's part of the thing people don't think about. My father was a veteran of World War II, bought many homes as we moved around the country. I don't think he ever used the veterans loans or even thought about going through a veteran loan. I think you think about it maybe the first time you come back as a first-time home buyer to get you started because it's lower down payments and stuff.
I'm going to stop you right there.
Okay.
You do not have to be a first-time home buyer to get a VA loan or an FHA loan.
Exactly.
And that is the first question everybody asks.
I think that's a misconception.
No, you do not need to be one.
No.
So why don't you tell us about the history?
The VA actually guarantees or insures the loans, and it's for homes, farm, and businesses. So when prior to break, we were talking about VAs not having jobs. They could actually go into business and get a VA loan, help them with the business
to fund their business, or
right?
Buy a franchise
now, over,
or something.
You know, the years since 1944, about 20 million loans have been insured by the government for VA people.
Okay.
In certain areas, they actually make direct loans when you're purchasing your home or constructing your home.
Where they actually make the loan?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Now, Faye, from what I understand, you get 103% for a VA loan. Is that
that's
plus $6,000 if it's...
That's like your VA funding fee that's already financed there. Remember what we talked about?
I see.
So you finance that in there. So if you're a VA, you could get like that. So basically, it's be 103%.
I see. Okay. And then that you can also add your other costs.
Closing costs and stuff?
What you when you ask the seller to pay your closing cost. So let's say if you're a vet and you're trying to do a no-no, you just ask on the
contract.
What's
the two no's again? The no, no means no.
It just means no, no, no. No,
no, no, no, no.
No, it's just that's the terminology we use for.
But it means nothing down.
Nothing down. Right. It means just no, nothing.
Now, funding fee can be waived. What the qualification for you to waive it is, like you said,
if you're disabled.
Disabled, and it says that if she receives a minimum of 10% of the VA disability compensation.
Yeah, so there's that's how we know is when you get your certificate of eligibility. So I think the first thing to do is if you want to are intending to get a VA loan is really go get your certificate of eligibility. If you don't know how to get it, then you talk to a mortgage person and they'll just walk you through it. But right now, you know, going online, pretty much, you know, you could Google anything.
Can I get a VA loan, or is it just one time? I mean, can I get VA loans only, say,
for the rest of your life?
For my life, or is it one-time use?
No, no, no. FHA and VA said you can really have one FHA or VA life as a time, except there's an exception.
Always an exception.
Well, they do make an exception. Let's say you bought a property in Chicago and you moved to California. You can't really sell the property in Chicago because it's like there's no equity.
There's no market.
There's no market. Right. You could get a FHA or VA loan. Same thing. If your family size has changed, like you bought a condo, it's a one bedroom. Now you've got two kids. Obviously, you can't live in the property, so they do make an exception on that too.
No, but what I mean is, I get a VA loan today, sell my house. Can my next loan be VA and so on?
Yes, but I think it has to do with your using your entitlement. So when you use it again, sometimes your funding fee is a little bit more. Yes, you can use it, but it's going to change your funding fee a little bit, like if you've used it.
But if I buy a house every 10 years and just keep moving up through retirement, from condo to retirement, I can use the FHA or the VA every time.
Yes.
I see.
I buy.
Yes.
Can I use it for investment?
No.
So it has to be a homeowner who uses it.
This is the FHA and VA loans are not for investment. They are only for owner-occupied. Now, I remember there was a time period back in the day when it was back in the 90s. I used to actually be the lender for HUD on their auctions. Mm-hmm. And back in the 90s, they used to do auction their homes when there was a lot of homes they had. And at the time, FHA would allow you to buy a HUD repo with 25% down, and you could only get an. But that was the only time I've seen it, like for investment. But
how about a second home? How about I want to own two homes?
No. Just primary one. Resident. Okay. You know, really, this is for somebody who doesn't have a lot of down payment. Mm-hmm. If you're so wealthy where you need a second home, Paul, you need to look at other options.
Yeah. Right.
Okay, so what else do we need to know about VA?
What I said about the credit, like I gave you an example, like you can be in the chapter, like I know for FHA, like for Chapter 7 is 2 years the waiting period, 1 year for Chapter 13, and as long as like VA says if you're you've been in your Chapter 13, you know, and Chapter 13 is that we can.
Reworking out your debt.
If you've been
restructuring.
Thank you for the word. If you've been in it for a year and you've paid your payment on time, you could actually get a VA or FHA loan. Mm-hmm. So credit is important. Now you also have one thing you have to pay attention, because California is considered community property.
Yes.
So for those states that are community property, if you have a spouse that's not coming on the loan, we still have to consider their obligation for the loan.
Even though they're not on the loan?
Yes, because community property.
Oh, your debt's
it's not
my debt.
Your debt is my debt, and your assets is my asset.
Your asset is my asset.
Yes.
So my wife always reminds me, your ass is my ass.
These are just for the veteran VA loans, not in a conventional loan.
No, conventional loan, no. If you don't put your spouse on there, we do not
even
care.
Even though you're in California.
But we're talking about Govy loans, so, you know, the government loan. Now, what else can I think about? Like,
do you have any idea how many loans are issued nationwide?
20 million since 1944.
Wow.
And 20 million units.
Yes, yes, since 1944.
I know you don't have this figure, but you do loans all the time. What? This is just anecdotal evidence. In your own case, how many VA loans as a percentage? 5%, 10%, 50%, 2%?
5 to 10%.
Small. I've actually been doing a lot more in the last 2 years than before, because that's what I'm telling you. There is a market.
It's more vets, yeah.
Well, because you have to think about it. We didn't have wars for a while.
Oh, a long time, yeah.
And now we have all these young people that go to war, and they, you know, the people that went to war back in World War II or Korean War, they're too old to buy homes right now. So.
I see. Now, you don't have to necessarily go to war, though, but if you're working for a military, you can...
Remember what I said, 90 days wartime,
right,
or 6 years, you could be reservist for 6 years, or you could be like 481 days active duty. So any of those will qualify you to... Mm-hmm. But
that
with honorable
combat,
discharge.
Right.
Honorable discharge.
Right.
Obviously.
Right. Or be working still in there. I see. Okay.
I wonder if it applies to contractors and stuff or not.
No, I don't think it would. Because you have to... be employed by the military, I believe.
Right.
A contractor is not employed by the military.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how they're classified.
I have no idea.
Okay.
I think the fact that if we can get more veteran people to apply for this loan, that in itself is a big, huge...
Are there companies that specialize in this and go after this more than other people?
Yeah, I'm sure they do. But I know in the last 2 years, we as a company have been pursuing it more and actively... putting on seminars and webinars.
Go talk before veterans groups
educate,
and stuff.
Exactly. Right? We actually had one seminar put in San Diego at Camp Pendleton trying to educate them. Because believe it or not, VA is actually also trying to educate the employees to make sure that they use these benefits.
Mm-hmm. I suspect there's a lot of them going to ask for.
One more thing I want to add is FHA and VA is the streamline.
Mm.
Now, you do a streamlined refinance on an FHA or a VA loan, and it's basically very simple. We don't have to requalify you. Now we do run the
stream. What is streamlined?
Streamline means that, say, right now you've got a VA loan you got 5 years ago. You're paying
5%.
5.5% on it, okay?
Right.
And you could come back. I don't have to ask you all the questions as long as I'm dropping your payment by a certain amount. And I think FHA is 5%, and like there's got to be there's a formula we use.
Mm-hmm.
As long as there is a saving for you, I can redo your loan without asking
you. So you reduce my interest rates?
Yeah.
I see.
It's like
an
interest
rate.
Well, that's very powerful. Now, keep something in mind. We do not need to appraise your house.
So it doesn't matter if my house is worth more than my loan.
So which came in handy back in the 2000s.
Yeah.
But now something back in the days, nobody was using these loans. Therefore, when the subprime market imploded, there was no FHA loan. HUD didn't really have a problem because they hadn't really been lending money for like 10 years.
Right. So that's powerful though, because a lot of people's financial situation may have deteriorated in the Great Recession, and part of what they want to do is save money on their house. They can take advantage of lower rates. And even though my credit score went down or I had
my house went down,
my house went down. Lots of things went down, I can go through without having to requalify to get that refinance.
You still
have to qualify as a person.
Back before 2007, all we did was get a mortgage rating. Mm-hmm. You have to be current on the mortgage for the last year. But now we run a credit. I mean, you have to have a 600 to 620 FICO.
I think most lenders would actually take 620, even though technically FHA would accept less. But most investors have a cutoff rate.
But you're saying that when you go through Streamline, they may not even ask you to do this.
Now, everybody runs your credit because nobody can sell loans in the secondary, I think, without putting a credit score in there. But on a conventional loan, if your FICO is like I was pricing a loan today, if your FICO is 660 versus 740, you're going to pay for every $100,000 you borrow, you would pay $2,750, which means if your loan was, let's say, $200,000, you're paying $3,500. For a $400,000, is $7,000. Now, what happens? We increase your interest rate so that you don't pay that money up front,
mm-hmm.
or you pay that money and you get the same interest rate.
Mm-hmm.
So FHA and VA don't have that. We don't really give you so much better pricing on one versus the other mm-hmm. one.
So if your FICO goes up and down, your rates does not change
as much as it's very limited. Like, they do give you a little bit better if your credit score, but nothing like conventional loan.
And I would think that would be huge. So if I've served my country and I have now want to refinance my house, and something's happened to my credit score, something's happened to my home value, why not use the VA? They're going to be kinder, more forgiving, gentler with me here.
You can use a VA Streamline only on a VA loan. Okay?
Yeah,
so
you
have a VA loan. You just want to do a rate reduction. It's very simple.
So let me recap.
I don't have to verify your job and look at your
Let me recap this Streamline. As long as I have a VA loan and the rates have gone down, I can do a very simple application showing that I still have a job and
current on my payments
and reduce my rates. Am I correct?
That is correct. But you don't have to show me you have a job.
See, you don't even have to do that. You just say current on my payments.
Current on your payment.
What do you verify?
Sounds like
nothing. The only thing is, like, if you were bringing asset to the table, like if you were bringing, let's say, 1 month of payment, you have to pay taxes. Some, like, four or five, like, we have to verify you have the money.
And it has to save you a certain amount of money.
You
can't just be $1 or $100.
Well, which is really for your benefit as a consumer, because they don't want that loan officer to just do your loan for, like, $12 saving.
Yeah,
because, you know, the amount of money you... So that's for your benefit.
Right.
Now, a side note, Denmark, if you have a mortgage and rates go down, you can go and reduce the rate anytime. Regardless of whether you have a job
or not. Where do you have to be?
In Denmark.
Yeah.
One more reason to live in Denmark.
And it makes sense, actually. Well, it makes sense.
I love the California weather.
If they pay me $100, I mean, if my payment is $1,000 a month and now I pay $950, it makes sense.
Yeah, and as long as I've been current, why wouldn't it be?
Well, they don't even check that. They don't even check to see.
Maybe we should let Mr. Trump know this.
I think
maybe
we should start a whole new show about buying properties overseas. Denmark, China, we can borrow money. We can borrow the down payment in Denmark.
And then we can just skip town, right?
Yeah.
Come to America.
We'll teach people how to buy overseas.
Well, it's very tricky.
Now, the other thing is non-occupant co-borrower, okay? So I want to buy, like, say you
non-occupant. I got to wrap my head around that.
Okay,
mom or dad or something.
Yeah, I'm not going to talk gibberish. I'm going to, like, speak English.
Yes,
okay?
Please.
That means, like, let's say my son wants to purchase a property.
He does
not make enough money. But you know, I'm going to give him the 3.5% down, and I'm going to go on the loan and co-sign for him.
Right.
You're allowed to do that. You cannot do that on a conventional loan. Like, you have to have certain down payment. I think, believe it's 20%.
Right.
But you could do that for an FHA. So I don't have
FHA
to live in the
VA.
Non-occupant means I'm going to borrow money with you, but I'm not going to live in the property.
I see. Okay, so you're actually on the loan with me and responsible for it.
With all these extra benefits, why are so few people? Why are we still preaching about FHA and VA? It's my neighbor who thinks it's a bad idea.
Yes.
get rid of your neighbor. We need to get the words out, though.
Yes.
We need to make sure more people are aware of these and more people are aware that how beneficial to them is and how much easier for them to get the VA loan if they qualify.
Yeah.
You know, it's a lot of people just go and buy a house. They never look into, you know, any benefits they may have had and so on.
And they think it's I think it's for first home. Time home
exactly.
buyers.
Exactly. Many people think that actually, that they think FHA and VA are first time home buyers. They think that, you know, you kind of have to have a...
Now, the thing on VA loan is closing costs. You know, VA, FHA doesn't have this before, but you've got allowable and non-allowable
on the VA.
On the VA.
Well, FHA used to have that, I think.
FHA used to have that, and it's actually very confusing, but it's in a way, it's good. Because what we call a lot of garbage fee, like VA mm-hmm. does not allow you to charge.
I thought they were all garbage fees. That's what I've learned
along the way. There are certain fees like you cannot charge to a VA buyer. Maximum fees is 1% of the loan amount.
So you can't load them up with all the fees.
No, there's certain
fees that you can't charge.
Well, right, escrow fee. even though it's like, it's not a garbage for you. So, but you know, escrow is like Southern California. We have escrow. A lot of other counties, like a lot of other states, you don't really, title does both end of it. Like, yeah. They don't really, you don't have an escrow company.
Or they go through attorneys or something.
You go through attorney state. So, so like, you can't charge an escrow fee to a vet. Like, so.
So but, on the closing statement.
So that's why you, when you write an a VA offer, you got to put in how much a seller would pay. So the seller may have to pay a little bit. But there's other ways of working it. I think it's very simple if you know the rules. I think the part that people like become hesitant to use VAs because of education. So really what we need to do is educate our realtors out there that, you know, if you get two offers and one of those offers is from a vet, don't just throw that on that right. aside. This is as good as buyer.
Don't discount it. Right.
Don't discount it because, you know, I would hope you would have more heart because
everybody has heart, but when it comes down to your home, you want to make sure you get the most you can and the easiest way. And
I think the problem is your neighbor.
My neighbor. That's always been my neighbor. All right. Well, thank you. This is fascinating stuff.
Now, there are a couple of, as far as.
We're down to the last minute here.
Well, last minute. Okay. Just quickly, as far as qualification, you need pretty much the same thing. You need tax returns, 2 years of tax returns, like the same thing we use. One other thing I want to say about VA. One thing that we don't care about on a conventional loan and we do care about is child care expenses.
Hmm.
That's something that we care about that comes into the
VA.
On a VA loan, yes.
I see.
So that's something you want to keep in mind.
Some very good information, Faye. Thank you. It looks like that's it for today. Make sure you check our Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat, all under OCHC Radio. If you have any questions or comments or concerns, please email us at OCHCRadio@gmail.com.
And, Paul, make sure your neighbor listens to this show.
Everybody's neighbor needs to tune in. Not just for that, but for our weekly Green Tip of the Week from Green Eileen. What do you got for us?
Hey, everybody. Green Eileen with your Green Tip of the Week. Spring has sprung in Southern California, and I know that because as I'm driving down the freeway, I can see the native species are in bloom and that there's fragrance in the air, and it just makes you feel like we have a fresh beginning here in Southern California. But not all of us have a green thumb. Some of us need to kind of induce the process. So we're going down to our local nursery and we're getting our drought-tolerant plants and our succulents. We plant them in the yard and we put our drip irrigation to make sure that they get their water. But what about mulch? Mulch is a crucial part of the gardening process, especially here in Southern California, because it helps hold in the precious water that we're using to water these plants. If you don't have it, the soil gets really hot, it gets really crusty, and it really stresses that plant out. So get the mulch in order to hold in that moisture. But there's other reasons to use mulch. One is that it's usually made of a good, friendly material like bark, leaf clippings, or pine needles, or compost. Most likely it's going to be bark, because if you're like me, you're buying it at Home Depot. And also, it makes it so it's really difficult for weeds to grow. It's a natural weed abatement process to reduce the types of chemicals that you're using in the garden. But I guess the best reason to mulch is that it creates curb appeal for your property. I know when I pull up to a home that I'm showing on the weekend, and if it has nice flowers and fresh mulch, it just gives that sense of homeownership pride. So mulching in your garden when you plant your plants for spring is your Green Tip of the Week from Green Eileen.